Never again.
Welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this adventure into 65 years in the future...
Dave, Joe, and Mike.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Well, you could basically call this the rebirth of the Batman.
Yes. Brave new world that has such putzes in it. Oh, wait, that's later. With episode 27 here, Legends of the Dark Knight, we are finally getting to Batman Beyond. I think this will take us all the way up to episode 38 of the show, I think.
Yes, it definitely will, where 38 will be Return of the Joker and epilogue, because they both kind of are... They're at the tail end.
Not the same thing, but they follow each other, yeah.
Yeah, they're tail end stuff, so. And then following that, there's two final episodes for a grand total of 40, so.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the final actual show episodes is episode 37. So, and as Steve said, 38 will be Return and all that. But yeah, no, Batman Beyond, I remember... See, I don't remember when I caught this, if it was as it was airing or if it was in syndication later. I seem to remember catching it as it was airing, and I caught Rebirth, and I'm like, wait, Batman's old? Who is this new kid? What's going on here? He doesn't have the right stuff. He isn't hanging tough. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's bad. New Kids on the Block 90s references. But it was like, what is going on here? What have they done? Because at the time, in 99, we were 2 years away from Justice League, because Justice League started in 2001. So it goes BTAS, STAS, Batman Beyond, Zeta, JL, JLU, and then Static Shock is in there somewhere along with Zeta and Batman Beyond. But it was like... Batman, Superman, Batman gets old. And I was like, well, it was a real, and I don't mean to steal the Static Shock episode title, but it was a real shock to my system seeing Bruce Wayne old.
Well, it was nice actually seeing something different for once.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. But it was like, because, and I don't remember if I've said this on this show or not before, but I know I've said this before in the last 5 years that GCRN has been online. When I was living with my dad and my stepmom, 93, 94, so 1 to 2 years after BTAS premiered, I would watch a couple episodes. My stepmother would sometimes catch me watching them, and she's like, yeah, that's too violent. You're not watching that. So I didn't really get, you know, as a 13, 14-year-old kid, I didn't really get a chance to watch a lot of BTAS. So, and Superman, same thing, by... 96, 97, I was more interested in other stuff, had other stuff going on in my life, wasn't living with my dad and my stepmom anymore at the time, so I was just kind of floating around the universe, I guess you could say, from foster home to foster home and group home to group home, but So yeah, Superman wasn't really on my radar. World's Finest was, like, for a half a second, and I didn't really catch any of it until much later, like, by the time I was 21, 22, somewhere around there. So when I originally caught this when I caught Batman Beyond at age 19, it was something like, it was like when I caught Beast Wars at 16 in 96. It was like, wait, what? There's a new Transformers cartoon? Wait, what? There's a new, like, a completely different Batman cartoon now? What kind of weird universe is this? You know? So it was really, really strange for me to see something new at the same time. Like you said, it was very, very enjoyable. And as we move through this series, there are going to be bad episodes. But the good episodes severely outweigh the bad ones here.
Yeah, most definitely there. There's a lot that goes on. And they do try and make, quite frequently anyhow, ties back to the original BTAS and stuff that will show up in Justice League. And so, I mean, it's not like it's a lack of trying. To connect. I mean, that's one thing I've always loved about the DCAU is the fact that it's always tried to connect itself back within some part of the continuity. Whether it's Superman, Batman, New Adventures, Justice League, any of them, the Timverse is, for all intents and purposes, even though a lot of it wasn't planned that way and a lot of it just kind of happened. They tended to manage to connect certain aspects throughout all of it, including you have things that happen here in Batman Beyond that end up tying back in Justice League, and then you have things that are in Justice League that tie back into Batman Beyond, which it's kind of amazing how all that happens.
Yeah. It's a true showing of how technology has advanced in the DC animated universe over time, even though production-wise and chronologically, production-wise, Batman Beyond came before Justice League, but it's really interesting to see. And I'll say right off the bat, I am going to have, because Steve has so graciously allowed me to at least edit the first two episodes, if not more, of this part of the podcast, I'm going to have so much fun throwing music into this because, oh my God, Christopher Carter did an amazing score for this series. Not just this series, but for the Return of the Joker film as well. But, like, the music in this series is, sure, it's not Shirley Walker and her team, but I believe she might. I could be wrong. I'm not looking at any information. I believe she might have been a consultant or something at this point. I don't know if she had passed away by this time. But, like, the whole vibe of Batman with this series has completely changed. It's more,
it's new age.
It's new age, but it's, like, in BTAS you have that classic 20s, 30s, and 40s music. With Batman Beyond, it's electronica and rock and roll and then that kind of stuff. And I like that for this series. Normally, I don't like that kind of music at all. Well, I like rock and roll, but I don't usually get into, like, you know, techno and electronica and all that. But for this series, it's amazing. And it's really amazing what Carter has done with when referencing the old series or throwing back to BTAS. I mean, we'll get to it, but there's one aspect of the end of Rebirth. It's like, oh my God, as far as the music. The animation. Now, as we go through some of these episodes, and I have noticed, at least with the ones for today, there are a couple of reused explosions. But for the most part, the animation is awesome. It's eye-catching. The colors are great. It's a very, very interesting way to take the Batman mythos. It really is.
Especially with how you can see certain aspects of things have fallen apart since there was no Batman.
Yeah. Neo Gotham is pretty much a dystopian future for a while. I mean, there's, it's not really dystopian, but it's to the point where they know that there's crime happening in the city, and there's no one around. They're like, there's no heroes. There's nobody. There's the GCPD. You know,
and you have the Justice League, but they're pretty much out saving the galaxy instead of worrying about Earth.
Yeah, but see, like, when this first aired, like, there was nothing. You know, okay, sure, later in season 3 we'll get the Justice League with the call two-parter, but, like, the first season, the first episodes, it was establishing a new Batman. I don't think until, I don't even know when, we'll get to it, but I don't even think Bruce mentions the Justice League in the first 10 episodes.
Well, at all. He didn't really care for them either.
Yeah, he was never really a joiner.
He was a part-timer.
Yeah, that's right.
So, before we get into any more in-depth speech about Batman Beyond, I think it's only fair to hear some music and audio clip and come back with The Rebirth.
Evening, boys and girls, who's up for some laughs?
Oh no!
Fun time! Aw, the no fun boy had an accident.
Let's put a smile on his face.
Leave him alone. And get off my property. You're trespassing.
Oh, is that right?
It's okay. I can handle this.
Who do you think you're talking to, old man? We're the Jokers.
Sure you are.
I can't leave you out here.
Sure you can. I just have to see this guy.
About what?
I'll explain later. You better go before the storm hits. Go! Come on, I know you're in there. Listen to me. Something stinks in your company. I think it cost my old man his life. The answer's on this. I take it to the cops, but you know how cozy they are with powers? How about you taking a look? Yeah, I should have known you wouldn't care. You're no Batman, you whacked out old fraud. Back off, Scooby. It's me.
And we're back with Legends of the Dark Knight. In this first episode, we're talking about Rebirth. The Rebirth is the two-part premiere of Batman Beyond, where it depicts Batman's retirement, when Bruce Wayne steps down, and later showing that, well, Terry taking over many, many, many years later. So, yes, it's starting off in the beginning of the episode. You have a airplane hangar outside of Gotham, and kidnappers have gotten Bunny Vreeland, which is in some relation to Veronica Vreeland.
It's probably her daughter or granddaughter.
I was guessing that, but I wasn't
something 100%. Like that. But it's never clearly stated.
Yeah, and then there's of course news attempts of or news reports of Derek Powers trying to take over Wayne Enterprises, which, as we'll find out later, he succeeded. Probably because of the events that happen in the next 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
So. There are these hostages, and they take Bunny Vreeland hostage, and or kidnappers that take her hostage. And in spite of being paid $5 million in ransom, they just decide that they're going to execute her.
No, they say, what if they don't pay? Then it's if they don't pay, that's how they're gonna kill her, because they never actually get the money.
True, but it's also because Batman kind of intercepts.
Yeah.
But you get to see Bruce actually wearing the new suit.
Yeah.
Which is pretty badass. Because it's got all these new gadgets, and it's something you wouldn't see Bruce Wayne Batman ever wear. But he managed to subdue most of his kidnappers with little effort, and then he begins to have a heart attack. Right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So he clutches his heart, and then while he's being beaten up upon, he pulls a gun on one of the attackers that he grabbed from the ground, which freaks him out. And you see him rip off the mask, and he's got his gray-haired older version of his new adventures, or Red Sky Bruce Wayne. So,
yeah,
which they added a little texture to his hair and everything, and gave him a little bit of lines, but you can definitely tell the resemblance there. And then you see him go to the Batcave and put it in his costume display and say never again as he shuts off the lights to everything.
My question about the costume cases is, when did he build a new one for the new suit? Because I don't remember those. I remember them being in BCIS, but I don't remember them being... I don't remember there being... five suits.
Well, he has his own suit, and
the old suit he has the Robin suit, Batgirl, and Nightwing in this series, but I don't remember in the old series where there was a fifth spot for this new suit, is what I'm saying.
Well, he must have built it, and that's where he stores this suit when he's not using it.
Yeah,
you could kind of infer that from that, but then you see the, you know, of course the intro, and 20 years have passed.
Yeah, Gotham sure has changed in 20 years.
And it went down the crapper.
Yes, it did. Very much so. I'm trying to see here. What do I have in my notes? The first scene before the intro credits is... it's just heart-wrenching. It really, really is. It just...
Well, you can't help but feel bad for Bruce.
Yeah. And hearing... I know everybody loves RoboCop as old Bruce in Dark Knight Returns.
I don't buy it.
Okay. You know, everybody except you most of the time loves... what's his name? Played RoboCop in Dark Knight Returns.
Batman?
Yeah. But hearing Conroy do a Frank Miller line, just, wow. That was so awesome. I know Conroy can't always be the voice of Batman, but... and even though his voice might not fit the feel of what Dark Knight Returns Part 1 and Part 2 are, but after hearing the Never Again line, I'm like, yeah, Conroy needs to be Batman forever.
Oh, you and your damn puns.
No,
I'm joking.
I wasn't even making the pun. I'm just saying, you know, pun would be, you know, after he's, you know, whenever Mr. Conroy... obviously, it'll be a sad day for a lot of us when he kicks the bucket. You know, just instead of him kicking the bucket, put him on ice alongside Peter Cullen, and we can just have Optimus Prime and Batman forever. So, yeah, Neo Gotham. Very futuristic. As I said, very surprising that Gotham advanced that much in 20 years. And it takes... Batman Beyond takes, you know, and we talked about this a little bit in the intro, but it takes elements of the previous Batman DCAU history and expands on it, but it also allows it to tell its own story and build its own new characters with Terry and his family and all that, and the new, I don't want to say new kids in town, but like Dana and all the kids at the high school. So I like that about it. There's one thing I didn't. It might just be me reading too much into it, but and it might be me pausing it at a certain point that I probably shouldn't have. But if you pause the train scene where the Joker tries to steal the woman's purse, if you pause it at just the right moment, it looks like he's going to sexually assault her because of where his hand is. Bruce Timm voices the lead Joker. It's fun time. Oh, God. I love that Bruce did that. I thought that was great. And he kind of does it throughout the whole thing when that lead Joker shows up. But it's very... Okay, it's not Dark Hamill, but it's more... And it's Bruce in his own voice. He's not trying to put a voice on at all. But just some of the inflections, I'm like, hey, it's an updated version of Hamill. A little bit. And the theme song. The theme song in the introduction. That theme song is amazing.
Oh, no doubt.
The tones in it, where it has some classic kind of instrumentals, and then all the techno music that it is, and there's another thing though. While I do love, about Rebirth Part One is, while I do like it, it's just one of those things where I have to call something into question. Here is how the hell did old ass Bruce Wayne get all the way out there to the gates of the property without keeling over? And yes, I know he is the goddamn Batman, but he's old as hell now. Like, how was he out there when Terry and the Jokers first come up onto the property? Like, is that what he does? He's his own security guard. He just walks his property every night. You would think he would have had like a million heart attacks by now.
I think it's just him protecting his stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The bat stuck in the clock and poof, the cave is exposed. With the animation in this, the way they went about the background colors for nondescript characters, or even the ones that are in focus, like Dana or Chelsea or any of those characters, any of the new characters, at nightclubs or when they're in the dark area, I love that they use blues and purples to show the bat. Like when I always thought Terry's jacket was purple and white because I always used to see him in the cave before he puts the suit on, and obviously in the real light. I love how they did that background change. I thought that was a really, really awesome color scheme to fit that. Let's see here, what else? The music that ends this episode, it's wonderful cliffhanger. It's not a dun-dun-dun, but it's one of those things where, oh my god, what's going to happen now? Because Terry says, you're not Batman, you're just some whacked out old man or something. He says something along those lines. It'll be in the audio, but it's just one of those things where this first episode was really, really good.
Yeah, I not only enjoy the seeing what happened to him after the animated series, but I really like seeing the transformation and seeing that, you know, this horrific thing has happened to him. And then you see this troubled boy that clearly is in way over his head, and despite the fact that Wayne is old and decrepit, he still he still has it.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Because Terry even says, oh, no wonder you could fight. You're Batman.
He says, was.
Yeah, I was Batman. Yeah, it just... This first two-parter just... Well, I really enjoy it. It kills me to watch it. Because of the continuity, because of what has already happened, it's just... It's so good, but it's so... It like, pulls in your heartstrings so much. Really does. Any other notes on part one?
No, I think that covers it.
Bet it amplifies your strength by at least 10-1.
I told you not to touch it.
But aren't you gonna go to...
No.
You built that company. And now Powers is making nerve gas there. You gotta do something. You're Batman.
I was Batman. Give this to Commissioner Barbara Gordon. Tell her I sent you.
I took care of his old man, didn't I?
A little early for Halloween.
But just in time for fall. Yeah!
McGinnis, I gave you a break. Now bring that suit back.
Love to, but I got these guards all over me.
There's a broom closet on the north wall. Can you get to it?
A broom closet? Do it!
Did you see him? Where
is he? This way.
Okay, let's go!
Now I'm a sitting duck. Hope you're happy.
The far wall. Put your hand against it. Press hard.
Cool.
I built the place, remember?
Then you'd know where they'd be loading a hover transport, wouldn't you?
Forget it. You're coming back here.
Powers is shipping out the virus tonight. It's gotta be stopped.
I'll call the police. Let them handle it.
I can do it.
I'll shut down the suit again. And this time, it'll be for good.
I read up on you, Mr. Wayne. I know how you lost your folks. The guy who murdered my dad is on that transport. This is my one chance to nail him.
The hover pads are in the northeast sector.
Wish me luck.
Good luck.
You're pretty strong for some clown who thinks he's Batman.
I am Batman.
So picking up where we left off in part one with Rebirth part two, I love the beginning scene with Terry and Bruce. Terry has such a fresh perspective to Bruce, and it's very cool seeing that. And it's really interesting to see. And if I hadn't already seen Epilogue... well, I didn't see Epilogue until after the series was... After Batman Beyond was over, but... In regards to how the GCRN has done the podcast coverage with JL and JLU and now... BTAS and Batman Beyond. If I hadn't already seen Epilogue, I would have still probably... Even though I have seen it, I would have still probably questioned of how Warren is his father, since Warren and Mary both have reddish hair, and Terry and Matt have black hair. Now, I know certain kids don't always, pick up on their parental genes, but at least some things do. So it's kind of like... Who is his father? We'll find out later.
Yo, everybody out of the pool.
Yeah.
The gene pool.
Yes. And I love how green and raw Terry is in the suit when he first puts it on, but it should have lasted a little bit longer. Terry is no Bruce Wayne. And we see that as the episodes today will go on, where when he'll face Ink, I mean, he's not thinking on his feet at all. And we'll get to that, but I do like seeing him learn how to use the suit.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting, seeing him not know what he's doing, and then, you know, of course, having Bruce lock him out.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Mr. Wayne, they're gonna kill me. You gotta do something.
I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. And the accident with Harry that Powers shows the Kasnian guy. I know Powers is basically explaining what the images are, but if it's dust to dust, I really don't want to see what that last image was that he showed that guy. It's just so creepy. And we have Mr. Sulu as Mr. Fix.
Yeah, see, that's funny because I didn't realize that.
Oh, no, I realized it. I've seen George Takei in, I've heard his voice in many different roles since this.
Oh my.
Yeah, he was Alpha Trion in one of the animated, I think it was in...
Transformers Animated.
No, he was Yokichron in
that.
Yeah,
that's right.
He was Alpha Trion in Transformers Prime. But yeah, I mean, Takei's voice is unmistakable. I like when they catch Batman on the ledge a little early for Halloween, but just in time for fall. I like that. It's interesting. It's an interesting concept, the emotions between Bruce and Terry, even though they just met, because both of their lives, some of it mirrors each other, and you can see that Bruce is still pained over some of, probably a lot of the decisions he's made in his life. I mean, I don't think Bruce Wayne is pained over the decision that he became Batman and defended the city for God knows how long, but they're just some things where it's like, oh, the emotional scene was when Terry said, I've read up on you and about your parents. The character designs and backgrounds in this series are amazing. I love how fluid the animation is. What do you think of the character designs and the city itself? I mean, Gotham, this ain't your daddy's Gotham anymore.
No, and I actually find it quite interesting to, for one, I really like the new, the new aesthetic to everything. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's so much more interesting. Seeing like the new take on the buildings, the new tech, the new suit, It's a breath of fresh air to the Batman mythos.
Yeah, it's very, very awesome and very, it looks so, it's so well done. It really, really is. What else did I have written down here for part? Oh, okay. The whole thing with Powers, it basically mimics Batman and the Joker. Sure, Terry threw the canister, but Powers was the one that shot at it, causing his own accident.
Yeah.
I know the guy had a gun. I know what Bruce Timm and company were going for, to kind of homage the Joker origin a little bit there. But seriously, if you have a gun in your hand and you see something flying at you, you're going to immediately shoot it? Really?
Eh, he's a villain.
Wouldn't you have just... Yeah, I know. And I love it, the fight between Fix and Batman. He's like, you're pretty good for some guy who thinks he's Batman. I am Batman.
You're pretty good for some kid who thinks he's Batman. There's so many memorable lines in this show.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry. It's just, it's so...
It is
painstakingly good.
It is very good, and the bat suit itself. I mean, it's just, it's, you know, I don't want to jump ahead, but some villains may miss the cape, and the ears are too pointy, but the Bat Beyond suit is designed for a futuristic crime fighter. And I know Bruce originally designed it because of his failing health, but if you look at that suit, look how the utility, for all intents and purposes, the utility belt is done. All the technology that's in that suit, I mean, fingerprints as audio receptors, that was cool.
Oh, when yeah.
When he was spying on the building, that was awesome. And then the end, again with the music, Chris Carter put this really kind of like light thing in there where when Bruce is saying, now I'm a difficult taskmaster, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's like, do you think you can handle that, Mr. McGinnis? And it's this like really, really light music. And then all of a sudden,
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Terry says what he says. And then Bruce says, welcome to my, the music swells into something that you would have heard Shirley Walker do in BTAS. I mean, it's not the BTAS theme, which I like that it isn't, but it's something similar to that old style. And it was like, oh my God, that's how they end this two-parter? Holy crap. So awesome. It really, really was.
And basically, they created a new Joker in this one. So, I mean,
well,
with powers.
With powers and blight, yeah, but the funny thing is Blight really isn't, and we'll get to this down the line, Blight isn't even his arch enemy.
No.
It's Ink.
Yes.
You know.
Which is like Clayface, yeah, in essence.
I have a huge thing to bring up with that later. Do we want to get into some production notes?
Sure. Continuity-wise, the abducted girl in the teaser is the daughter of Veronica Vreeland, which we kind of speculated beforehand. Though it's not made clear in the episode itself, it is mentioned in the commentary.
Yeah.
Though it is not stated in the show, Batman's final fight takes place 20 years after the new Batman Adventures, which kind of puts the beginning of this very episode into his like 50, 60 year old range, and then you of course jump another 20 years and he's in his 78 year old range. So
yeah.
It appears that Kasnia remains a source of considerable political unrest.
Well, duh.
The combined effects of the nerve gas pathogens and the radiation therapy did considerably more than just alter Power's appearance. It transformed him into the villainous metahuman, which eventually goes away. Mm-hmm. Like bad, I don't know, bad green gas, I don't know. He goes away quickly.
Yes.
Production notes. In the commentary, Bruce Timm stated that he voiced the Joker's leader because the actor originally cast him for the part just didn't have it, which is actually funny. Timm showed him how he imagined the character, though they never stated who originally was cast, even though they're stating that Reno Romano was...
On his outdated official website, it has him credited as the Joker's leader.
Yeah. But yeah, so who eventually became the Batman in another show, but that's mm-hmm. another story. Unlike all later appearances, Ace's barks and growls are that of an actual dog.
Mm-hmm.
Which is humorous because from here on out, he's Frank Walker.
Yep.
Ace
the Bat Hound. Yes. Everybody loves Ace the Bat Hound.
But he looks better in this show than any other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Production inconsistencies. Harry Tully gives Warren a mini disc containing incriminating evidence, but in the end of part one, the disc is a full size one when Terry is at Wayne Manor's gate. In part two, the disc changes back to its original size. It's a Decepticon disc. Leave it alone. It has it has phase shifting. Would you like to tackle the trivia, sir?
Sure. Part one was nominated for an Annie Award for Outstanding Individual Achievement for Writing in an Animated Television Production. The uniforms worn by Derek Powers' security guards are similar to the battle suits worn by Kryptonian soldiers in Superman the Animated Series episode Blast from the Past. As I said before, Bruce Wayne making the vow never again comes from Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns. Club 54 level that Terry and Dana are waiting in line for is possibly an allusion to Studio 54, Manhattan's famous 70s nightclub. The motorcycle chase is reminiscent of that featured in an anime film, Akira. Smark's threat to Terry, "Let's put a smile on his face," is later said by the Joker in the 2008 film, The Dark Knight. Terry's comment to Ace, "Back off, Scooby, it's me," at the end of Part 1 is an obvious reference to the iconic cartoon character Scooby-Doo, which was ironic as Frank Welker, known for voicing Scooby-Doo on several occasions, all in later appearances. Yeah, see, after... We all know Don Messick did Scooby originally, and Frank was Fred. Since Don's death, and I think for the longest time in most things, Frank is also Scooby now.
He's been doing Scooby since the 90s.
Yeah. I already mentioned the Batman indirectly turning Derek Powers into Blight with chemical accident mirrors the Joker's origin. You're going to like this. The electrified knuckle dusters used by Mr. Fix against Batman in Part 2 are similar to the ones used by Batman Bruce Wayne in the Justice League episodes Secret Origins and Starcrossed, and the JLU episodes Clash and Destroyer.
What's funny about that is actually they use it again in Arkham Origins because of the electrocutioner.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the electrified knuckle dusters in that as well.
Oh, interesting. Michael Gross, voicing Warren McGinnis, Terry's dad, previously voiced Lloyd Ventrix in the Batman the Animated Series episode See No Evil. Very cool, very cool. Alright, so since this is the first episode of the Batman Beyond Reviews, we have to run down at least the cast for this episode, or this two-parter. We have none other than Mr. Eric Matthews as Batman. Will Friedle is the voice of Batman. He was also uncredited as Weasel. And of course, Kevin Conroy, Bruce Wayne Batman. Lauren Tom is Dana Tan, Terry's girlfriend. Sherman Howard is Derek Powers. Ryan O'Donohue is Matt McGinnis. Michael Gross is Warren McGinnis. Terry Garr is Mary McGinnis. Seth Green is Nelson Nash. That always surprised me. Bruce Timm, Joker's leader. George Takei, Mr. Fix. Let's see. Yvette Lowenthal is Chelsea Cunningham. Sam McMurray is Harry Tully. Jack Roth is the virtual newsman. CCH Pounder is the anchorwoman in the very beginning. Most people will know CCH Pounder from the TV series The Shield from FX, or you may know her as Amanda Waller from Justice League. Let's see. Corey Burton was Vilmos Egan's. And that's pretty much the rest of important ones.
The funny thing about that Vilmos Egan's, he almost looks like an old version of Rupert Thorne.
Yeah, he does. He does, very much so. This is one hell of a way to start this series. It really, really was. And it was very, very awesome.
Well, and see, they didn't have to go into a ton of back origin information because, well, they kind of already explained it a little bit. And also, they managed to kind of bridge the gap somewhat between all the different things from Justice League and there on out. So that was kind of nice seeing that happen, and then getting to see kind of without explaining too much and then getting the ball rolling, the rise of the new Batman.
Yeah, it was very awesome. And what's interesting about tying all the continuity together is you have this series, you have Epilogue. So Epilogue shows Terry as a 30-year-old, and we'll get to this much, much later in the show. But what I love about this series and this continuity is that you have Batman Beyond, the cartoon series, plus Return of the Joker and Epilogue. In between Return of the Joker and Epilogue are the new Batman Beyond Universe Adventures, written by Kyle Higgins and art by Tony Silas, currently running on DC Comics. So I love how they've been able to create this whole timeline with a cartoon series and a comic book. Now, I know there were other Batman Beyond series before the current run, but it's really... The DCAU, like you said earlier, you know, even though they didn't intentionally mean to tie everything together, they tied everything together nicely. And people that want to bring in something new or tell a different side of the story, at least on Kyle's point, you know, he really does a masterful job with that. But Rebirth, simply amazing. It really, really is.
Come in, Bruce. What a pleasant surprise. How have you been holding up?
With a cane.
Very clever. I must say, it's so nice to see you taking an interest after all these years. We're lucky to have you as a resource.
Mm-hmm.
You should come by more often. I'll set you up with the finest office in the building. Just not this one. I'd prefer you not touch that.
In case you're worried, I didn't come here to set up shop again.
Why, Bruce, you've misread me. I don't worry.
I just came to say this. Keep your hands off, Fox Tekka.
Pardon me?
I may not have the leverage on paper anymore, but I still have friends. The Foxes were a valued part of this company for years. I'd hate to find out Wayne Powers was involved in these attacks.
Bruce, let me put your concerns to rest. I'd never do such a thing. Why, Lucius Jr. was still vice president when I took over.
I know. You fired him.
Yes, well, had to make room for the new guard, didn't we?
That's it. You're showing me everything.
Gordon, I figured I'd hear from you. Word is you've wrangled a new errand boy.
I never wrangled anyone. Every one of you came to me.
Maybe once you should talk someone out of it.
Would it have worked with you? I don't suppose you want to meet him.
You know I can't.
Because he's leaving you a Get Acquainted gift right now. I'd keep it on ice.
Next up is... Blackout. It is the third episode of Batman Beyond, and it also introduces the villainous Ink.
Yup.
Who is a polymorph, which is able to change into all different kinds of shapes and objects. Think the T-1000 from Terminator.
Yeah, that's pretty much what she is.
Only she's a weird inky substance, and
think of the T-1000 mixed with the Venom symbiote from Spider-Man.
That's a good analogy. But yeah, she is breaking into Fox Tekka, which is Lucius Fox's company.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly why. I think it's because of something she wants to get in there, but...
No, Powers hired her because Wayne Powers and Fox Tekka are battling over getting a new government contract. And Derek Powers wants to eliminate the competition. So that's what she's there for, is to be the competition eliminator.
Funny thing is, this is the only time you see that company in this show.
Yeah, but, I mean, do we really need to see Fox Tekka all the time?
No, but I was saying that... it may have been a nice kind of crossover with Lucius Fox at some point later that they could have tied into.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, it's owned by his son, Lucius Jr., so... But, yeah, this is by far, I think, the hardest adversary that Terry has ever had to fight.
Oh, yeah. And it's only the third episode. Yeah. And it's only the third episode. What I loved about this is how the, you know, we mentioned with Rebirth how far Gotham has come in this time. I love the elevator. I know this is something simple and stupid to like, but I love what the elevators look like now. You see Powers and Bruce in the elevator. I thought that was awesome. Yeah, Bruce really is teaching Terry. He's got to think on his feet. And it's showing that Terry isn't as... You know, he doesn't have Bruce's brains. Like, Bruce has always thought 5 or 6 or 7 moves ahead of everybody else. Terry may be 1 or 2 steps ahead of someone, but he's not that far ahead of them. And then the new Batmobile. I love this thing. I love this thing almost more than the damn DeLorean. Even though the Batmobile can't time travel, but still. Outside of the original BTAS Batmobile, this might be the best animated Batmobile ever.
I don't know. I'm still partial to the original.
No, I know. I said outside of the original BTAS one. This might be the best one ever. The first ink battle was very cool. The animation with ink in the backgrounds translated very well. This battle also shows how Terry, as we said, isn't really as fast as Bruce with his thinking, but it shows that he will learn in time. So that's interesting. The fact that there's a villain out there that has the brains to liquefy themselves to make the Batmobile heavier to infiltrate the cave is awesome. While Ink is Clayface-like, why Clayface never thought of this is beyond me.
Yeah, that is kind of strange to me that that was never achieved.
Mm-hmm. There's a layer of solid steel. Wow, DCAU Bats is way prepared.
That's why he keeps all those wonderful toys.
Yes. I understand this is a production thing, and it's an homage to all the old stuff, but logically in the series, how did Bruce get all those costumes in the Batcave? There's Harley, there's the dummy, there's...
Well, you forget. They all eventually die.
So he's just going to go around stealing women's clothes?
He's a great robber. Of course, there's only like one of the rogues gallery that was female that's still alive at this point, so...
Yeah, well, Harley never dies. The freeze gun! I thought that was so awesome. That it's still there. It's still there. It still works after all this time. And the ending to the episode is, I wonder when you were going to get around to calling me. Even though it's Stockard Channing, and not that I have anything against that actress, even though it's her currently in the series as Commissioner Barbara Gordon, I can't wait till we get to Angie Harmon as Barbara Gordon. That's who I hear in my head when I see anything else with this series. But Stockard Channing does a really, really good job, and it's such an emotional scene. It's right out of something that Bruce would have done in the old days for Commissioner Gordon. Dropping off the package.
Yep.
Yep. What are your other thoughts on Blackout?
Well, like I said, I like the fact that, you know, all the old antique-y stuff manages to make a recurrence at this point. I think it's disgusting that Ink tries to choke out Batman.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you see Bruce wearing the Grey Ghost's mask and hat.
That was awesome. He's like, where'd you go? I suddenly got shy.
I needed a disguise.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny. You know, you get the giant penny, you get, you know, the freeze gun. Just all these relics are magically showing up. And it brings more of that strong nostalgia without, like, jamming it down your throat like Ink likes to do.
Yeah, that was a little disgusting, seeing him spit her out. Because that's what he did.
That sounds like a bad song.
It could be. Could very well be. But yeah, shall we get into the continuity and stuff?
Yes. Bruce mentions his partnership with the Fox family, alluding to Lucius Fox and BTS and the new Batman adventures. This episode establishes Derek Power's temporary fix for the condition caused by his exposure to the radiation and rebirth. As his condition worsens in Meltdown and Ascension, he becomes desperate. Ink next appears in Disappearing Ink, which is funny. It's almost like the Q episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. Every time he's in an episode, it starts with Q.
Just think of it this way. She has disappeared. She started in Blackout. She has Disappearing Ink, and her final episode will be Inkwilling.
Yes, that's just bad comedy. Production inconsistencies are Terry appears not to recognize the Grey Ghost outfit in the Batcave, but in Justice League Unlimited epilogue, the young Terry and his parents are exiting a screening of The Grey Ghost Strikes Again. However, given that the film was supposedly produced more than 30 years after The Grey Ghost revival in the 90s, and that Terry saw the original costume almost a further decade onwards, it is possible that an entirely different costume design was used for that said film, or that Terry didn't especially remember it as well.
Mm-hmm. For trivia, this episode won an Annie Award for Outstanding Individual Achievement for Storyboard and Animated Television Production. Ink proves to be the new Batman's most persistent enemy, confronting him even more often than Derek Powers as Blight. This is the first episode to actually show the older version of Barbara Gordon. In the Batcave, there are several displays of Batman's rogues, including the Riddler, Harley Quinn, the Mad Hatter, the Penguin, Catwoman, Firefly, Scarface, and Mr. Freeze's gun. Okay, so Harley Quinn and Catwoman. We know Bruce would be able to get a cat suit anytime he wanted, since they were dating at one point, but Harley's not dead yet.
No, but she's not causing any trouble either. So they may have confiscated it her last time in Arkham.
Maybe. There's also, as you display the Grey Ghost, Bruce's old childhood hero. When Bruce is putting away the cowl for the supposed last time in Rebirth, the cases are much smaller, with the costumes folded up inside and sitting on rock stands. Cast for this one is pretty much the same as Rebirth, except for Mari Devon as Miss Winston, Shannon Kenny as Ink. I wonder if she's related to Tom Kenny. Kevin Michael Richardson as the security chief, and of course Stalker Channing makes her debut as Commissioner Barbara Gordon. Blackout is an amazing episode. It really is. So far, we're technically three episodes into the series, and it still holds up today.
I have to agree with you.
All right, I think we are going to move on to the next episode.
Golem's control halo was found on the rooftop, fused.
Any chance they found the head that went with it?
No such luck. The Golem went straight for that car.
Belongs to Nelson Nash. He goes to Hill High.
Know anyone who might have a grudge against him?
The line starts with me and goes around the block. Twice.
The Golem is now in police impound, awaiting a full investigation.
And while it sits there, I can't finish the building.
Just another example of technology gone bad. Bad.
When I get my hands on the jerk who stole that Golem, I'm gonna make him sorry he was ever born.
Maybe he already is.
What was that?
Nothing.
Come on, baby. You know I care about you. I thought you were right behind me.
I was. By about 100 feet. Big, brave Nelson. I might as well go to the dance with a twip like Willie Watt. Willie! Are you busy Saturday night?
You talking about the dance?
Wanna go or not?
Yeah.
Great. Call me.
Think I'm gonna let some twip take my girl? Relax. You're saved. For now.
Up next is Golem, which is the fourth episode of Batman Beyond. It depicts the revenge schemes of a scrawny teenager, Willie Watt. After being harassed by Nelson Nash one too many times and being goaded to seek revenge by his father, high school student Willie Watt steals a giant construction robot known as the GLM Golem. However, after a fight with Batman, the robot essentially becomes part of him. Now mad with power, Willie goes on a rampage that threatens everyone around him. Even when I saw this when it aired, I didn't really like it. It's your average... I wouldn't say villain of the week, but it's your average teenage angst. Kid was bullied. Father is basically a bully himself. My first note is, problems teenagers in high school have to face. Those were the days. And as we all know, high school is cutthroat.
Yep.
I get that Willie has been bullied and all that, but it's a very bad thing. You know, no one should be bullied at all. But yikes, he is taking everything way too literally. I like the animation effects on Willie as he controls the Golem. I thought those were great, and I love the musical tones, but this episode is just very generic. And by generic, I mean it's your standard high school Yeah, that's the other thing. It was an unrequited love story. He was falling in love with Blaze or Blade or whoever the girl was, and she was just as cruel as Nelson Nash, basically stringing Willie along.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's one of those things, too. You have this character that has these technological computer powers or, you know, kind of thing. Even at the end of the episode, but never makes a recurrence, and there's nothing ever done about it again.
No, it is. He does come back.
I can't remember. That's maybe
he does. I don't remember the episode title, but he comes back because Terry is the only one that visits him in juvie. I remember what it is now. It's the episode where the girls in the shower think it's possessed and think there's a ghost in there. And it's basically...
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, no. Out of all the episodes we will have talked about or are talking about today, Golem is by far my least favorite. I don't know, I just didn't really care for it. I'm not saying it's a bad episode, it's just not an episode I enjoy to watch. It's no Terrible Trio, but we'll get to that next time around. So, any other bits we want to bring up? I don't think there's a lot of continuity. There's no continuity. Production notes is that when Willie blows up the TV set at the end, the ensuing explosion is reused footage from the scene of Superman the Animated Series episode My Girl, in which Mr. Elon blows up a vat of hot lead off its supports.
This, just the one piece of trivia that's actually pertinent is the Nelson character is like the Flash Thompson to the Peter Parker kind of role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which you can easily pick that vibe up. Of course, at the same time of this show, you had Spider-Man Unlimited, where he has the Robo suit similar to the Bat Beyond suit.
Yeah.
Although that series went 13 episodes and flopped, and this one went on 3 seasons, so go figure. But yeah, it's there's definitely a lot of back and forth between Marvel and DC and these kind of things.
Grimlock was in this episode. Greg Berger was the Golem controller.
Somehow I'm not surprised.
So there's that. Shall we move on to the final episode of the day?
I think so.
It's useless. It barely lasts a day anymore. What do I pay you people for?
It's not the skin, sir. The radiation you're emitting is getting stronger.
Is that supposed to pacify me?
Mr. Powers, I have a suggestion.
Who are you?
She's new here, Mr. Powers. She really shouldn't be.
I'm Dr. Lake. Stephanie Lake.
What's this suggestion of yours?
I could use your baseline DNA to build you a new body, then transfer your neural patterns into it.
Dr. Lake, it's not your place to...
A new body?
Theoretically, it should work. Of course, I would want to test the process first on someone who also has systemically damaged DNA.
You have someone in mind?
Take a good look, Doctor. I've been like this for nearly 50 years, and I haven't aged one day. I have become what many men have dreamed of, an immortal. And yet, there hasn't been a day, an hour, a minute, I haven't thought about death. It obsesses me, even now.
What if I said I could give you life? A normal life?
Ah!
Victor, an incredible mind like yours deserves a body.
You feel it, don't you? Right through your suit. The heat is on, Victor.
Last up for the night is Meltdown. This episode is the 5th episode, and it depicts the return of Mr. Freeze. Tired of having to use a suit of plastic skin that can crack at any time, Derek Powers decides to try having a healthy body cloned from his original damaged one. However, the procedure is first tested on Mr. Freeze. At first, it seems that the procedure has worked, and Victor Freeze tries to lead a normal, peaceful life. Unfortunately, Victor Freeze soon discovers that the procedure is a failure, and the people he once loved and were once trusted have betrayed him. Seeking revenge, the evil personality of Mr. Freeze is born again.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very interesting yet sad episode.
It is. It's basically Heart of Ice Beyond, pretty much, except for the fact that it has nothing to do with...
The wife.
The wife at all.
Yeah.
I believe this is the first episode we see the Batsuit do camouflage, and that is just so awesome. I freaking love that. I really do. What?
One of the things I really love about this episode is the fact that... they start out with the thought of cloning and transferring a mind into another body. And then they say that they have Freeze's disembodied but immortal head that's been locked up for the last 50 years, which means that at some point, because Heart of Ice actually is, or not Heart of Ice, the Sub-Zero is before the new Batman Adventures, where he has the creepy crawly legs that come out of his android body.
Yeah.
That means at some point during the new Adventures era, Freeze got locked up because he was in a Wayne Powers vault for 50 years.
Yeah.
So, as interesting as that is, it leads to a lot of other questions about, you know, how they keep him in deep freeze kind of thing. But I think it's also funny that he attempts to atone for his sins by creating an organization, the Nora Freeze Foundation.
Yeah. Well, you know, in New Adventures, she basically dejects him from what he's become. And that just kind of sets him over the edge, and somehow in between that time and now, he's been in cold storage, pun intended. What I love about this episode is, again, something I love about this series. Terry is somebody new. Terry is not Dick Grayson. Terry is not Barbara Gordon. Terry is not Tim Drake. He's someone completely new, and he has a new perspective on things. And even though, sure, Bruce was 5% right about Freeze, at least Terry was willing to give him a chance.
Well, Terry also is fresh blood and doesn't exactly know everything about him, whereas Bruce does.
Yeah.
But also, on this new lease of life, Victor Freeze was trying to do the right thing for once, and then Powers burned him, literally, to the point he was just like, I give.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting for people when they listen to this episode when it comes to the heat is on.
Another thing that's kind of cool about this episode is the fact that Terry, as Bruce, or as Batman, tries to save Freeze, and Freeze is like, no, I'm going up with the building, sorry. Which, he's gone up with buildings before, so it's kind of, still kind of could be alive. You never know, but I also like the fact that Freeze had a very powerful suit in cold storage.
Yes. Yes, the Freeze Beyond suit was amazing looking. I love the animation on that thing and the design of it. You gotta think of, though, some of these villains... some of these old villains... And I think that was what Bruce Timm had said in one of the commentaries or something or other, where he said, we didn't just want to have Joker Beyond or Freeze Beyond or Two-Face Beyond or whatever, even though they did bring a couple of them back. They just didn't want to do updates of the old villains. They wanted to have Terry have his own challenges as Batman and face different villains. That's where, you know, where you get people like, well, we'll talk about in episode 28, we'll talk about Shriek, and we'll talk about, you know, we talked about Ink today, and I'm glad they didn't just recycle Bruce Wayne's rogues gallery.
I also like how it's to some degree they gave some of them a ending.
Yeah.
Some of them just, you know, died of old age or actually retired the goofy costumes, and then other ones you never heard of what happened. Fortunately for five of them, you get to find out in this series.
Yep. Yep. The last thing I'll mention about this one is, Terry, there's something hot in that room. Come on, Bruce. I know you're old, but Jesus Christ, you're smarter than that. To state that obvious.
It's like blight. Yeah. So, getting into production notes, When the lab starts to explode, the resulting explosion is reused footage from the scene of Superman the Animated Series episode World's Finest Part 3.
Yep.
Production inconsistencies. It's strange that Dr. Lake would try to kill Victor Freeze in order to perform a biopsy, as a biopsy requires living organs. It is not mentioned that she actually meant to kill him. It can be assumed that she merely intended the heat to knock him unconscious.
That didn't work out too well.
Nope. After Freeze escapes, Dr. Lake says confidently that he won't last long since Gotham is experiencing a heat wave. This statement contrasts with several visual cues showing winter weather, the snow that saves Freeze when he leaves the studio and escapes from Lake's trap, and the frozen pond that Powers crashes through after being blasted out of the building.
Yeah.
Terry does not connect Powers' blight, despite Powers' clothing being the same while he's blight. That's another one of his slow moments.
Yep.
And then, of course, the trivia, you have Mr. Freeze last appearing in the episode Cold Comfort of New Batman Adventures. And again, they never showed how his head came to be in possession and in cold storage. But he did reappear in the comic books of the Gotham Adventures and Batman Adventures. And it says that his head is retrieved by Warren Powers, Derek's father, head of Powers Technology, who keeps it in belief that it will lead him to the secret of immortality. Which, that I believe.
Yeah.
Tress MacNeille replaces Mary Devon as the voice of Miss Winston. Mr. Freeze's damaged head is first shown before going through the transfer procedure. The art style and shadows make him look an awful lot like Hermann von Klimt, a character from Hellboy who Mr. Freeze's design was greatly based on.
Yep.
This episode marks both Mr. Freeze's final chronological and production-wise appearance in the DCAU, suggestively that he finally succeeded in dying.
You know what? This is going to sound morbid, but I'm kind of glad. Because the guy was just emotionally damaged. Like, he had nothing. Like, his wife basically dejected him. The woman that he thought cared for him nearly killed him, or attempted to knock him unconscious, I guess. You know, so the guy really,
he's had a crappy life.
Yeah. So I'm kind of glad that they just let him go.
And of course, this is the first appearance of one of Batman's original enemies. Subsequent ones include Bane, Ra's al Ghul, and the Joker, and Talia.
Yeah.
So, but
I believe
I love the quotes, though.
Go ahead.
Blight says to Batman, Batman says, "And who are you, Sunshine? Blight will do." And then you get Batman saying to Freeze, "You've got to get out of here, Freeze. This whole place is going to go. Believe me, you're the last one who cares. Or the only one who cares."
Yeah. And again, it's refreshing to see how different Terry's personality is to Bruce's. It really, really is. Because Bruce has always been that hard-nosed, oh my god, mission, doesn't matter. It's clear-cut and dry. Whereas Terry has that clear-cut and dry, but he also has somewhat of a little bit more compassion as the new Batman. So that's also what I like about this series.
Yeah. There's so much awesomeness so far in the series. I mean, Gollum aside, it's you have four knockout episodes already.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, Gollum, well, like I said, Gollum isn't bad, and we'll talk about it a little bit in the outro, or in the closing of the show, but, I mean, Gollum isn't the worst episode of the series, but it's just like, how can you have us go through the first three episodes and then, here's Gollum? You know, I don't know. But yeah, sad to see Mr. Freeze go, but kind of happy for him that he rested in peace. And
well, and the funny thing is you have Alan Burnett, who I think had a lot to do with Mr. Freeze and the early DCAU.
Yeah.
And he's again present in not only the Rebirth, but in Meltdown.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I think we're going to kick it over to a couple of quotes, maybe some ads, and then we'll come back to close the show after this.
Hey, Geekcast listeners. Do you ever listen to Punisher Body Count and think to yourself, this show would be awesome if it had less toilet humor and was not about the Punisher? If so, join me, Emily Williams, as I class up the Punisher guys on Dane and Jake Get Classy. We're like the Oprah Book Club of comics. You'll hear us discuss famous works like The Dark Knight Returns and The Grove, along with graphic novels no one else is talking about, like Blue Monday and Blankets. You can find us at daneandjakegetclassy.wordpress.com or on iTunes.
So let's say you're looking for a podcast of your favorite 80s comic books, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ninja Turtles, He-Man, etc. Where are you going to go to find us?
Welcome to Star Joe's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm Chuck. That's right, everybody. We're the Star Joes. We host a podcast called Star Joe's Podcast, where we talk about your favorite comic books, your favorite toys of all the 80s properties.
Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask, Thundercats, Voltron, you name it, we cover it. If it's in the 80s, we'll cover it at some point.
Yeah, so what you want to do to find us, you can go to iTunes. You can go to www.starjoes.com.
And remember, the Force will be with you,
because knowing us is half the battle.
And we're back with Legends of the Dark Knight. So, sir, what are your final thoughts and ratings on today's episodes?
I really like how this series is starting off. It's very strong. I know you're going to disagree with this, but the good thing about this series is they give you enough backstory where if you had never seen Batman the Animated Series, you almost wouldn't have to. I'm not saying not watching that is a good thing. I'm just saying that they give you enough of, hey, this is Bruce Wayne. He can no longer be Batman 20 years later. This kid comes in, he's the new Batman, and then we're off and running. I love the animation styling. I love the new Batsuit. Love the new Batmobile. There's a couple of little nitpicks that, but it doesn't overall deter me from enjoying what I'm watching. One thing I didn't mention in the Rebirth review, I actually caught this because currently, this is amazing. Late last year, I upgraded my cable package and I now get the Hub Network, which is Hasbro's channel. They've been showing BTAS and STAS, which is, for those who don't know, Superman the Animated Series, since then. Just recently, they started airing Batman Beyond episodes again from the beginning. Nice. I watched Rebirth on television with commercials. But that's not what I'm trying to get at here. What I'm getting at here is, on television, as I'm watching this, I notice something I've never noticed before. People will see it in the post. It'll be an image in the post, and it'll be the image where I actually point it out to everybody and say, hey, look at this! It's not what it says on the image, but Terry, at the end of Rebirth, when his mom knocks on his door and says that Bruce Wayne is there, the Batsuit, the new Batsuit, is under his bed. So, with his little brother being as nosy as he is, really surprised Matt didn't find the bat suit.
Yeah, it is kind of surprising.
Yeah, very much so. But yeah, overall, really enjoying the series. As far as ratings go, let me see here. Ratings. I'm going to put Golem in fifth place. I'm going to put Meltdown in fourth, Blackout in third, and Rebirth 2 in second place, and Rebirth Part 1 in second place, and Rebirth Part 2 in first place. Even though Rebirth, it's one whole story. We have five episodes here, so what about you? What are your final thoughts and ratings?
Overall, strong start. Definitely enticing for the rest of the series. So many good nods to the past without getting too gushing onto it. I really don't have much to complain about. I wouldn't put Golem as like a terrible episode, because as we've stated before, there are some terrible episodes to come. This just isn't one of them. My final rating would be Golem at number 5. Blackout at 4, only because the other ones are, in my mind, better than that one. I would put probably the Rebirth. Part 2? At number 3, only because I like the ending to Mr. Freeze for my number 2, and Rebirth Part 1 at number 1.
Cool. Something else I wanted to bring up, I meant to bring it up in the outro, or in the beginning of the show. I have talked to Tara the Rising Star. She's had a lot going on in her life, and she hasn't had time to be able to sit down and watch any of the episodes. She's still watching BTAS. If we can get her on, I think she was having internet problems at the time of this recording. If we can get her on before we wrap up the show episode reviews, we will. I'm sure at some point when you guys start rebooting Mainframe, she'll be along the ride there with you. And when I do some more stuff on MWire, even though currently MWire Weekly Crew is running that show, when Steve and I do some more MWire stuff, if it's a film that Tara will be interested in, we'll definitely have her on, but it's just not feasible for her to record right now. Actually, I don't know if it's due to the snowstorm or what, but she has no internet access except on her phone. So, blame Canada.
Blame Mother Nature.
Yes, that's right. But yes, Tara wanted me to tell everybody that she appreciates all of them asking where she is, and she does want to record with us. She just can't at this moment, but she will soon. Anything else we got to get out of the way?
Nope. I think it's about time to close her out. So, thank you for joining us for Legends of the Dark Knight. If you'd like to leave feedback on the show, there are many ways to do so. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. You can call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. Become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can follow us on Twitter at LOT Dark Knight or at Geekcast Radio. My Twitter name is at SCP21. And what is your Twitter name, sir?
DFG and Mike.
Join us next time when we sit down and discuss Heroes, Shriek, Dead Man's Hand, The Winning Edge, and Spellbound.
There's 1-0 and 4 heroes in that episode.
Boo. So, for now, I'm Steve Megatron Phillips with
DFG and Mike.
Saying in the immortal words of Batman, I am vengeance. I am the night. I am Batman.
Honey?
What?
Quick, get dressed.
We have company.
Company?
Mr. Bruce Wayne. He's here to see you. I hope you don't mind milk. We're out of cream.
I prefer it. Terrence, sorry to get you up so early.
It's okay.
You never told me you knew Bruce Wayne.
Well, actually,
Why, I owe this boy my life. He defended me against a bunch of hooligans once. I tried to reward him, but he absolutely refused.
Mr. Wayne wants to offer you a job.
A job?
It's not much, mind you. I find that in my old age, I could use a part-time assistant. You know, a gopher. Go for this, go for that. An ally, as it were. Would you be interested?
Well, of course he would. Wouldn't you, honey? I mean, to work with someone as famous as Mr. Wayne.
Sure.
I warn you, I can be a difficult taskmaster. I accept nothing short of excellence from all who work for me.
I think I can handle it.
Very good then, Mr. McGinnis. Welcome to my world.